Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my candelabra friend, Frank.
Hi.
Friend, I was going to say candelabra shaped. But that doesn't start with the F
no, it
sound.
No, doesn't. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm on fire.
You're on fire. Frank, I would like you to be my guest and tell me what beer you're drinking.
Ma chère mademoiselle, it is with deepest pride.
I am a monsieur.
And greatest pleasure
that I am drinking this Heavy Seas Winter Storm Imperial ESB, which I just learned stands for Extra Special Bitter.
It's like I have ESB or something.
Yes, it is. British style, English style pale ale.
Cool.
I'm going to take my first sip of it right now.
Cool. I'm drinking a Loose Cannon Hop Cubed IPA.
Hop Cubed. Also from Heavy Seas.
Indeed. Hopped three times in the brewing process.
Here we go.
First sip.
First impressions. Theater.
That's quite good.
Yeah? You like it?
Yeah. You know, I've become to like the hop and the IPA more and more.
You have you?
Yeah. It's got to be smooth still. You know, I don't want it drying my mouth out.
Yeah.
I don't want, like, the rye to come into my mouth and dry it out. But
I know
you
mean.
You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. After a while, it can sort of get... when there's too much, you can, like, the bitterness of the hops can, like, kind of get in the back of your throat.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not pleasant.
No, it's not pleasant. But you know what was very pleasant, Frank, was Disney's Beauty and the Beast. The live action remake that just came out a few weeks ago.
I agree.
You agree?
I liked it.
Great. So
I liked it.
So when they first announced that movie,
I was skeptical,
to say the least.
Yeah. I was definitely skeptical.
Not to say the least.
Say the least. Say the least.
Belly is mine.
Say the least. I was quite skeptical because I'm just not crazy about the idea in general. I'm not going to rehash it, but I just, you know, making the all these live action remakes. I'm like, come on, guys, do new ones, do Moana, do new ones like that. Like,
sure,
but
to which they still are.
Which they still are. But I'm just sort of like, I wish
different
they'd focus
departments.
More energy.
Yeah.
But I knew that I was going to see this regardless because it
because
is my
Beauty and the Beast.
It's my favorite Disney film. So I knew that I had to see it.
Sure.
Just to know how it was handled.
I want to know, can you show me?
Boom, boom, boom.
I want to know about the Beauty and the Beast.
Can't wait till they remake that one.
Yeah.
So I...
They did. It's called Legend of Tarzan.
Ooh, yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. Mm. I wanted to, though.
Is it Disney, though?
No.
Oh.
No. Tarzan's open source, I think.
And open source? I think you mean public domain.
That's what I meant.
Open source is like software.
Yeah, that's what I meant, public
but
domain.
Yeah. It's I enjoyed it. What'd you think?
I really liked it. I was very much looking forward to this because I am on the other camp where I'm like, remake all of them. You know, I don't care. Like, because they're fairy tales. You know
sure.
what I mean? Like, we remake fairy tales all the time. So I don't care if Disney remakes a fairy tale they've already done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how many countless versions of Cinderella are there, or Snow White, or even Beauty and the Beast? There's a bunch of different versions out there. So I don't necessarily really care if Disney's like, well, we know it works, so why not? You know? Look, I want them to continue to make great Marvel and Star Wars movies.
Sure.
And to do that, they need to fill that bank with billions of dollars. And if remaking their animated films does that,
yeah,
fine.
This is all I'll say about it. It's one thing when, like, Cinderella, like, there's a Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella, and then there's a Disney Cinderella, or there's the musical Peter Pan, and there's a Disney Peter Pan. Like, that's different to me than, hey, we're going to take this version and repackage this same version with these songs and these characters. You know what I mean?
This is true. So,
I enjoyed it. So it's all a moot point.
That's the funny with the Disney remakes. Not everything is a repackage of what Disney has done. Because hear me out. So, Beauty and the Beast is a repackaging, no question. Cinderella really isn't. It's really. Did you see Cinderella?
No.
It's not. If you watch,
yes, so he is in it.
Yeah.
So
the songs aren't in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The story.
That one's
the
different.
Story is not the same.
Different. Yeah.
Jungle Book's like kind of a repackaging. Jungle Book's kind of a repackaging because they have two of the songs, but it's the Jungle Book. How much are you really changing?
Beauty and the Beast, though, is
absolutely
a readaptation of that same.
Right, and Pete's Dragon is not really an adaptation.
Yeah, Pete's Dragon.
Right, which I haven't seen, but from what I can tell, it's really not a rehash of the cartoon at all, for maybe good reason. But Beauty and the Beast is a product. Like, Beauty and the Beast was nominated for an Oscar.
Yes.
You know, like, they know it works.
Yes.
So why, and other versions have, other people have tried to make different Beauty and the Beast, and they just don't work the same way.
Right.
Because it really is about a woman falling in love with a buffalo man. and that's very strange in its own right.
Yes, it is.
And so, you know, can't get on that LeFou was gay, but we're totally okay with the Buffalo Man.
Totally, like, fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, that was way blown out of proportion, LeFou,
you know,
thing.
Honestly, I might not have noticed.
Me neither. I was thinking the same thing. I was, like, looking for it because I knew.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I guess he's, like, giving Gaston longing looks. I don't know. And then at the end, there's that one moment. It's like, oh, that's it?
That's it.
That's it? That, like, barely blink and you miss it thing? That's what everyone got upset about?
So I listened to the soundtrack to this before before I saw the film.
I meant to do that, and I didn't, but I wish I had. But
yeah, so we can talk about those experiences, actually. But so there's a moment in the song Gaston where there's a pause.
Okay.
And LeFou says, too much? And Gaston goes, yep. And I thought that would be like the moment where LeFou, like, lays one on Gaston.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. But it wasn't. It was an innocent thing. I don't even remember what it was.
I don't remember what it was.
Inconsequential.
But I really thought that would be the moment that,
like, oh, this is the gay moment. Yeah.
But whatever. I think the transgender moment was, was more of a thing where I was like, oh, that guy likes it.
Yeah.
The knockoff Three Musketeers So anyway, I listened to the soundtrack ahead of time and I do this with movie musicals especially with music that I know, if I know the Beauty and the Beast music so well, I am used to their cadences and how they and how they do everything. So I kind of need to get the new version in my head I'm not sitting there going like, it's not what I'm used to hearing, and that distracts me.
You put the emphasis on it this way, not that way.
I just need to get used to it. It's not a problem. I just need to get used to it.
Same, and that's why I wish I'd listened to it before, because then I wouldn't have been paying that much attention to that, and I would have been more into what was happening on screen and less about whatever, the way you said those words.
Right, exactly. Did you find that was distracting when you watched the film?
A little bit, but I knew that that's what I was getting myself into, you know? So I didn't... I didn't let it bother me, but I did definitely notice it. I couldn't help but notice. But I went in, I have to say, I went in very much trying to have an open mind and not to let myself, get thrown off too much. What threw me off more than anything, and this was really distracting for me, was the auto-tune, man. Auto-tune was everywhere, and it was killing me.
Now, see, I really only heard it on Emma Watson.
Oh, see, no, I
and I heard it a bit with Dan Stevens as the Beast, but his whole voice, was auto-tuned because it was digitally altered for the Beast, and so it was a little. By the point he starts singing, I found it less distracting because I was used to him speaking like that. You know what I mean? I was used to his altered voice, so when he started singing, it just kind of felt the same.
I heard it on I heard it on his voice. I heard it on Ewan McGregor's voice. I heard it on most of the voices, except for maybe Audrey McDonald.
You definitely didn't hear it on Audrey McDonald.
Definitely not on her.
I didn't hear it on Luke Evans.
Maybe not. And maybe not, but a little bit on Josh Gad, I think.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit on Emma Thompson.
Maybe a tiny, tiny bit. But not to the extent Emma that Watson Emma Watson was. It was like they cranked it to 10.
But I don't want to you know lay it all on her, because so in the trailer, and I think you and I talked about this. I don't remember if we mentioned it on the podcast, but offline we definitely said like we were nervous because they weren't showing us a lot of singing in the trailers, and we were worried that maybe, and the little we did hear was her auto-tuned, clearly auto-tuned.
Yep.
And so we were like, oh man, maybe the singing sucks and they know it and that's why they're holding it back. I'm not going to go that far and say the singing sucked and they held it back for that reason, but it was distracting to me repeatedly throughout the film, especially Emma Watson, but others too are just like, oh God, this is just so auto-tuned. And so like, I would rather you got a different singing voice for these characters who could sing without auto-tune.
Sure.
Then I would be less distracted by that, 'cause I might not notice it then.
Sure. Well, now it's funny that you said it, 'cause I was listening to an interview with Bill Condon, the director, and they actually had singing voices for some of these actors, and some of them said, no, you hired me to do this part, so I'm going to sing the song.
Some of them
didn't need it. So like Luke Evans comes from the West End.
Yes.
He is a tried and true musical theater actor, and you could tell because he shows off in certain moments where it, like in Gaston, he hits, like he has this little high note thing that he does just to be like,
yeah.
Yes, that's right. Uh-huh. I am, in fact, the trained singer. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. He was great.
And Josh Gad, same thing.
Book of Mormon. Yeah.
Trained singer. Emma Thompson, I'm not sure, but, you know.
She sang pretty well.
It was very pretty. I thought it was very pretty.
But the auto-tune distracted me from it.
See, it's funny. I go back and listen, but, like, Emma's distracted me. I felt she was kind
of. Emma Watson.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, right. Emma Watson, I thought kind of like. Honestly, I felt she was the weak link in the film. Like
I actually was quite charmed by her.
I honestly wasn't. I thought she was fine, but I didn't think she was bad. I just think she was like, there she is.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I actually found her quite charming, and there were a couple of moments in particular where I like was sort of like, I think I have a crush on her. Like,
wow.
And she's not. This is. You know, I haven't watched the Harry Potter movies, you know, like I don't have a ton of exposure to her.
Sure.
So maybe now I'm getting what everyone has gotten for 10 years.
Maybe.
But I'm just sort of like, ooh, she's quite charming. Like she had a couple of moments with just her delivery and like the sort of like sarcastic I guess we'll go with sarcastic looks that she gave the Beast, sort of really, really, guy?
Yeah.
We're sort of like, she doesn't take any BS from anybody. And it was sort of, you know, I found it charming. I found it attractive.
Yeah.
So I thought her acting, I was actually quite taken with.
I was more taken with her acting than her singing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Her singing was the weak link of all the singers.
She didn't have a lot of power behind it. So even like in her like Sound of Music moment or what, I want adventure. Like
in the great wide summer.
It's more like, oh, I'll take some adventure. Like whatever. If it comes my way, it's fine. Like that's kind of how I felt about
it. I'll say this though. Her singing bothered me more in this movie than Russell Crowe bothered me in Les Mis.
I agree with that.
You do? Okay.
Russell Crowe bothered me less.
Yes.
Than she bothered me.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree with that. Which is a shame. However, I was really taken with the Beast in this movie.
He did a really good job. What is he from?
Dan Stevens was on Downton Abbey. He played Matthew on Downton Abbey.
Okay.
And you might know him at least in a more nerdier sense. He is. He stars in Legion right now.
Oh, okay.
So I can't remember that character's name, Professor.
Xavier.
It's not Professor. It's a spoiler, so try not to say it.
Okay, then don't.
So he's the star of that right now. And I was a fan of him from, I was really excited when I found out he was cast, because he's just he's one of those actors that is like, no one knows your name, but everyone should know your name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When he's one of those guys.
So can I tell you something?
Yeah. Kind of like Luke Evans that way. Everyone should know who you are.
So I knew Luke Evans' name, but I didn't know what he was from or anything. I didn't recognize his face. I didn't, but I knew the name. if I'm being perfectly honest, I probably, if you asked me like a month ago, who's Luke Evans, I'd be like, I don't know, country singer?
Yeah, it does sound like a country singer, even though he's Welsh.
Yeah, well, yeah. But the name Luke Evans kind of sounds
totally.
Like...
God, you're totally right.
You know what I mean? I intentionally didn't really pay much attention in the production of this movie. Mm-hmm. I really only knew Emma Watson was in it, and mm-hmm. that's kind of... Where my I didn't know Audra McDonald, I didn't know Stanley Tucci, I didn't know Ewan McGregor, I didn't know Ian McKellen,
Emma,
I didn't
Emma
know
Thompson.
Emma Thompson,
wow.
I didn't know
really
any of these people were in the movie.
So when you saw the movie and they're all in the ballroom scene at the very beginning, and you're like,
"Well, I saw
people?
Audra McDonald and Stanley Tucci at the beginning, yeah. I didn't really notice the others."
Oh, sure.
And then at the end, when they all turned into, I didn't even recognize Ewan McGregor when he turned
wow.
into Ewan McGregor. I was like, I don't know who that is.
Did you at least recognize Ian McKellen's voice?
Ian McKellen, no, not his voice. But wow. his face, the second
sure.
that he turned back into human
yeah.
Cogsworth, I was like, is that, what?
Yeah.
Is that Magneto? What's yeah. happening? Is that Sherlock Holmes? What is?
Yeah.
I
love how you didn't say Gandalf in that. That's
I
my.
I'm trying to think of roles they played.
My favorite is that you didn't.
No,
say
Magneto
Gandalf.
Would be the first thing that I. Mean, the first thing I think is, oh, it's Ian McKellen, and
sure,
then all those
right.
other roles.
Sure.
But I was like, is that him? No, mm-hmm. he's like the way he was made up with the mustache and everything. I was
sure.
sort of like, not sure.
I love that his mustache was
like
uneven.
A pointy,
yeah.
Yes. Like the
yeah.
hands of a clock.
It was great.
Yes. And then the end credits, I like stayed to see mm-hmm. all the like close ups of all their faces.
Sure.
That was really cool. And I was like, that is him. That is. Wait, yeah. that's Ewan McGregor?
And you were there, and you were there, and you were there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's how, yeah, that was my experience. I was very excited as
well,
all the reveals happened.
She can talk. Yeah.
And I talked to, my sister saw it a few days before mm-hmm. I did, like a week before I did. And she was like, do you want me to tell you who some of like the cameos are? And I was like, no, don't tell me. I'd rather not know. I'd rather just be surprised. Mm. She's like, it's not a spoiler or anything. I was like, I know, but I'll just enjoy it more. And I did. I was really glad I didn't ask her.
Yeah, not really cameos. I mean, they played those parts. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I was, the reveals were that much more powerful for me.
Did you know how actually Ian McKellen got that part?
So hello, I'd like to be in a Disney movie.
Not
you can bring
actually,
the money truck to this address.
Actually,
and,
not really. Actually, not, kind of, but not really. So he and Bill Condon are friends because Bill Condon directed him in Gods and Monsters.
Oh, okay.
With Brendan Fraser.
Yes.
And they've been friends for a long, long time. I think they've worked on something else together, too, but I can't remember. And Ian McKellen, every movie that Bill Condon does, says, do you have a part for me?
Oh, no way!
Yeah, and so he was doing Beauty and the Beast, called him up or emailed him, and I was like, do you have a role for me? And, and Bill Condon was like, give me a second. Comes back, do you want to be Cogsworth?
Oh,
I
man.
I don't know what that means, but sure.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's great.
Yeah, isn't that great?
You know, at first, like, two or three lines that he had in the film, mm-hmm. I was like, did they get David Ogden Stiers to come back for this? Because it sounds like him.
I don't think so at all.
Only
no.
the first, like, one or two lines.
Oh, yeah.
I very quickly was like, oh,
sure.
No, that's not him.
What did you think of Ewan McGregor?
Eh.
You know, have you ever heard his story about being, like, taking this role?
No.
No, it's a great...
I didn't know it was him until
it's a great,
5 days ago.
I guess so. So he does a great interview on Graham Norton about it. Where he,
I love Grimm.
They offered him the role, and he was like, "Yeah, I could. Yeah, that sounds fun. Like my wife's French, I could do a French accent." Gets to the studio,
no,
I cannot do a French accent.
No, he cannot.
He's like, "I sound Mexican, and it is awful." and so he actually had to redo all of his dialogue.
No way.
Yeah.
Was
so
it that
I think
bad?
So. Like his voice, the one that he does, kind of this, you know, welcome, I am Lumiere. I think that's as close as he could get.
Oh man.
And that's bad. And like, but he's like, my wife is French. He's like, and he's like, I should be able to do one.
Yeah.
And he got to the studio, was like, I can't do one.
It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't. I thought he was fine. And I honestly, if he did. Jerry Orbach in the French accent was so,
yeah, I mean,
it's so iconic. But the only reason that Jerry Orbach had a French accent is because he showed up and he was Jerry Orbach and he said, "I'm going to do a French accent."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
People went, "Okay,
Jerry Orbach,
so,
you do what you want, buddy."
It's necessary to the role, but not really. And I feel like Ian McGregor would have been a better Lumiere if he didn't have to do a French accent.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I mean, if he had just, I mean. Cause like Mrs. Potts has a British accent and like
right.
Hogsworth has a British accent. Like they pretty much all sound British except for Lumiere. And because to your point, because mm-hmm. Jerry Orbach did it, now he has to, Peter Pan has to be played by a boy and Lumiere mm-hmm. has to be voiced with
you
a French
Peter
accent.
Peter Pan has to be played by a girl, you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Mary Martin is rolling around
right.
in her grave.
Yeah, exactly.
If she is alive or dead, I'm not sure.
That's what I meant. So, you know, Peter Pan has to be played by a girl and Cogsworth, now Lumiere, needs to be have a French accent. And, yeah. and so, you know, he was kind of put in this bad position. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do a very good job with it. He did the best he could, I'm sure, but he didn't do a very good job.
But he wasn't my favorite part, although I do think that his back and forth with Cogsworth yeah. was very strong. Oh, yeah,
the banter was good.
I think he acted the part well. I just didn't like his accent. I thought he, like...
Agreed. He acted it fine.
I just, his accent was no good.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think Ewan McGregor's a great actor.
But he was also the first one to be like, my accent's no good. I apologize. Really watch that interview with Graham Norton. It is really funny. Most interviews with Graham Norton are really funny.
Graham Norton's a great interviewer. Yeah. He gets really good stuff out of his guests.
Yeah, very, very good stuff.
I absolutely will check that out because I'm excited to see that, actually.
Yeah. What do you think of some of the new songs?
I
know them if you need me to
remind me.
There's the aria that Audrey McDonald does.
Yes.
And it's Audrey McDonald, so it's lovely. How does a moment last forever? Kevin Klein.
And then
Belle kind of has her little
yeah
thing.
That was nice. You know, I have to say, in general, I felt that these songs didn't feel like they belonged with the rest of the Beauty and the Beast songs. They felt like Alan Menken songs, but they felt like present day Alan Menken. They didn't feel like 1990.
That's an excellent point. Alan Menken. The only one that I felt that kind of fit was Evermore, the Beast song. Like it, but it still doesn't. It didn't exactly have that. Most of the songs in Beauty and the Beast, the original songs, are kind of bouncy.
Yep.
Yeah. But it kind of has that momentum to it. Even Beauty and the Beast, its songs like ba da 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 da. It has that same.
There is a bounciness to it.
There's a bounce to it.
Certainly something that wasn't there before.
Yeah. Killed the Beast. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Killed the and like right. They all have that bounce.
I would say Gaston's the only one that doesn't. It's a drinking song. That's the. Yeah, I guess they all do kind of have that. And these were much more like melodic, pretty songs.
Yes, exactly.
I'm talking about my feelings.
Yep.
They all felt like the new and a bit alarming. They felt like that piece of that song.
Yeah.
But as an entire song.
Yeah, is it? They don't really. But the only one that I felt like it was kind of there was Evermore. It does kind of have like, but it doesn't.
Okay.
It's like a blend of the two.
Yeah.
And so like, but again, I think that one is. I think the Beast song is the strongest of the newer songs. Partially because even as a kid, and we've talked about this, that I think it's weird that the Beast doesn't have his own song.
Yeah, yeah, we have talked about this, yeah.
Everybody has a song,
yeah,
except for the Beast.
Yeah.
And it never sits right with me.
Did he have one on Broadway? I don't know if he did.
It's called If I Can't Love Her.
Okay.
And so, but it comes, so plays are in two acts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And movies are in three acts. Yes, they're different structures. And so there are two songs that Alan Menken, who also did the music for the Broadway show, wanted to include. He wanted to include Home, which is Belle's song. Is this home? Is this where I learn to be happy? Mm-hmm. Which you can hear, actually, when she sees her bedroom for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They play it instrumentally.
In this movie.
Pretty much the whole time.
Isn't that the same tune? Isn't that tune in the score, like the underscore of the original movie?
I actually don't think. Yeah, kind of a bit of it.
Yeah, it's in the original movie as underscore.
Yeah,
and they just turned it into a song.
And they did the same with, If I Can't Love Her, because long ago I should have seen.
Oh yes, I've heard this.
Yeah, so and they didn't include that one because it comes at the time when she runs away for the first time.
Okay,
like to the wolves. It's the act split.
Yeah,
and it doesn't.
Oh, that's what the act split is.
It's the act split, and it doesn't. It doesn't fit in this movie. It didn't fit in that moment.
That'd be weird.
So they wrote a new song for it, which I actually like better anyway, which is fine. I like the way it's split. I like the way that it's split better. It makes more sense.
I can see that structurally.
And then there's Days in the Sun, which is the Beast as a kid starts singing it when he's watching his mom die.
Yeah.
And then which Louis do you think he is?
Louis
after the revolution, apparently. Yeah. You know,
Louis the Forgotten, apparently, because no one remembers that they had a prince at some point.
well, that's the part of the spell.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, yeah, it's like she makes the witch makes everybody forget, which is not explained in the cartoon.
That's right.
So the cartoon is like, how did you all forget?
And I never questioned it. I never questioned it until I was watching it now. And I was like, wait a second. Don't the people ever think like, hey, whatever happened to our, you know, ruler?
Right. Yeah. That guy. No one's come to get taxes in years. I'm sorry.
There's a castle out in the woods. Okay.
Someone's thinking crazy bills. Yeah, but I liked that the witch makes them forget. I also like that the witch made it eternal winter around the castle.
Yes.
Because I don't know what season it's supposed to be in the animated film. It's all over the map.
I think it's just supposed to be, we see the passage of time, and it's like, well, we go through all the seasons.
Yes.
We do see winter at one point, but it's not winter the whole time.
Right, exactly. But when it gets confused, so in the animated film, there's Beauty and the Beast, and then they go outside, and it is lush, middle of gorgeous summer.
Yeah.
Like, the trees are in bloom, the sky is clear, and then she runs away, and it's winter in the village, and you're like, what is happening? Because LeFou is a snowman, remember?
Ah.
So it's like, the seasons don't match.
You're right.
Yeah, I know.
I never really thought about that.
I watched it right before I saw this one, and it was the first time I had noticed it. I was like, wait, the seasons, one season more, doesn't, Star Wars, the musical. They don't match. The seasons don't match, and there's an odd transitionary piece there.
Wow, yeah.
And so I liked that this movie was like, I think somebody must have pointed it out, and they were like, winter all the time over here.
Yeah.
Summer over here.
Interesting. I liked, I thought it was an interesting choice to have Mr. Potts be one of the villagers.
I thought so too. Mr. Potts.
I was a little thrown off by that at first. I was like, wait, that's different. It was one of those things where I was just sort of whoa.
They hint at it right at the beginning in Belle. In that song,
okay.
She says, "Oh, Mr. Jean, have you forgotten something?" He's like, "Yes, but I can't remember what it is."
Oh my gosh, you're so right, and it's his wife
because they've all it's his wife and child, yeah, because they've all forgotten something,
right?
I did.
Wow, that's good. I totally I wouldn't have caught that until the second viewing. That's good.
Yeah, one viewing actually. That's all me. But I listened to the soundtrack ahead of time.
Right.
So I did like the tiny little library in the town.
Yes, was the priest's library.
What? That's not what I was going to say.
The tiny little library in the town was, his name was Pear something. Pear means father. He was a priest.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which totally makes sense for the time period, because the priest would have been the academic in the town. He would have been the learned one, the one who could read, and he would be the keeper of the books. There wouldn't be a bookshop,
right?
Most likely.
No, there wouldn't
have been. There would be the priest who has a few books. And, oh, sure, you can borrow
books. Yeah, or a library, because she goes to a library. She doesn't go to a bookshop.
Well, she goes to the priest who happens to have books.
In the animated film, it's not a bookshop. She goes to the library. Yeah.
There definitely wouldn't have been a library. 100%.
If you like it all that much, it's yours.
Yeah.
For $2.50.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, you're right.
In a bookshop, he would have made her pay for it.
No, but that's what I was saying. No, that's the thing.
Yeah.
He was being super nice by letting her keep it for free, but I think it was supposed to be a bookstore.
No, it's because I think she talks about borrowing. So
I think he's making an exception for her. I just assumed it was a library.
Says,
if you like it, just keep it. And she's like, what? But
I thought it was like it, you keep it because nobody else in this town reads.
Maybe it's
so
a library.
You might as well just.
It's been three years since I watched it.
My point for the whole thing actually was, so the tiny library or whatever.
Yes.
It's a bigger impact on her when she sees his library
because
she's only got 15 books to choose from
or whatever, and
you don't have anything new.
Right.
So for her to then go into his library, which I thought was slightly underwhelming.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
It might have been the lighting itself. What was like, we never really get to see it. There's no wide shot to be like, look at the books.
Look at all these books. Mountains of books. Which we were missing too.
And if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yes, if it's not broke.
I was a little disappointed at those. But you know, a lot of those jokes weren't in the movie, which is fine.
Yeah.
I don't always need to rehear the same jokes. Yeah. I think if the script is weak, I need to hear them to feel better. But the script wasn't weak.
Yeah.
And I thought the film did a really nice job at kind of beefing up the Beast so he's more likable.
Yes.
Like he feels more authentic. Like you can understand why this woman falls in love with the Buffalo Man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Him, really, I feel like
he's the MVP of the film because he has to kind of sell it.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a man on stilts with shoulder pads and he has to sell this because that's what it was. It was a suit. It wasn't.
It was a suit. It was partly CG, dude.
Sure, well, his face was. Yeah, sure. But like the his body. Yeah.
Was it like performance? Not motion capture, but performance capture, like they did with K2SO and Rogue One.
No, it was. I think some of the dancing and stuff was like for wider shots. It was easy to tell because sometimes you look at his jacket and you go, "That's not real. That's not a real jacket." But a lot of his moving around was practical. Okay. Yeah,
his face was. Yeah, but yeah, clearly.
Yeah, his face was definitely CG. Yeah.
They
really gave Dan Stevens a curse.
I know, as opposed to like a mask or something, obviously.
Yeah.
But he did a very, very, very good job. I agree. I felt like most of the characters were rewritten. You know, Belle's father, like Gaston, LeFou, they were given more motivations. They weren't just cartoonish, like, I have one thing in mind that I want to marry her, and I dislike Gaston, so I'm going to be his faithful servant here. Like,
sure.
They actually had more motivations, which I appreciated.
That's what I really like about, that's why I like these live action remakes, because that's ultimately all Disney is really doing, is giving these, they're fleshing these characters out. Though Wicked Stepmother and Cinderella actually has motivation for being wicked. You feel for her in some way, as opposed to just being like, you're evil because you're a stepmother. Bad news for stepmothers everywhere.
Yeah.
you know, but so like, again, for this one, like, there's a reason why Belle doesn't have a mother.
Right.
Which I liked.
Right.
I did really like when they were in the windmill and Beast is like, oh, do you want to see this? Do you want to see this? Oh, no, too touristy.
That was funny.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah. Felt slightly out of place by saying touristy.
Oh, it totally was. They would never say that back then, but it was still funny.
But
it was
you know what? This is a buffalo man that magically transported into a mill, so whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I felt that overall, this was like the Game of Thronesification of Beauty and the Beast, in that it was meant for a more mature audience.
Slightly.
It's a long movie for a kid. It's a long movie for a kid. I wouldn't say it was inappropriate for a kid. I would still take a kid to this movie.
Bad in this movie.
No, nothing at all. But it was, there were many more jokes and things that would go over a kid's head that were meant for people who grew up with the original and now wanted a retelling of that story.
Absolutely. On a brief side note, we're not going to talk about this on the podcast because you weren't a Power Rangers kid and I was, but I did see Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a movie that didn't know what audience it was for.
Oh, really?
The first joke in the movie is a masturbation joke about a cow. That's the first joke in the movie.
So that's
like, I milked the cow. Dude, that's a guy cow.
That's trying too hard to be like, yeah, we know you guys are in your 30s now.
Right. And that's something like, of course, the kids are not going to get that joke, but I don't want to even expose my kids to that joke.
Right.
As you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Mr. Potato Head taking off his lips and smacking his ass in Toy Story.
That's fine.
Sure.
That's fine.
No problem.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's too far. It's a little too far. This did not go there at all.
It didn't.
Perfectly appropriate for kids. In fact, I broke my rule. I broke my cardinal rule to see this movie. I am a bearded man who's close to 30.
You didn't take a child.
And I went to a kid's movie alone.
Oh, my God. I thought you went with your wife.
No.
Oh, no.
That was the plan. But then she had other plans. So I was like, well, I really want to go see this. So I'm just going to go. Do you mind if I go without you? And she was like, no, that's fine. And so I went alone. I did the best I could. And we talked about this on the podcast. So that
you
we
wore
both
sunglasses, a fedora to blend in, obviously. No.
And a trench coat, nothing else. No, I went in like right before the movie started. So I was like the last one to show up. And I managed to get a seat all the way in the back alone, like not like, oh, so I wasn't like conspicuous, like I'm going to get here early and sit alone. Like, I just walked in, went straight to my seat and didn't bother anyone, talk to anyone.
Awkward.
Well, it wasn't bad. And then it was fine. But I broke my rule. That's how devoted I was to seeing Beauty and the Beast.
I'm glad that you saw it. I think we could keep going, but we're kind of past our time now.
I think we can wrap it up. Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts you want to like lightning round through or anything?
I wish Stanley Tucci was in it more.
Me too.
Because he's the Tooch and I love the Tooch.
The Tooch, man.
He's a good guy.
Toothless Tooch.
Yeah, but I really did. I enjoyed it. I think I could have shaved a few minutes off of it. Like,
it was a little long.
I think partly because like I know the story so well, so like I know what the end game is.
Right.
The prince did not have weird toes in this movie.
He did not have weird toes.
The moment looked like it was going to come.
And it didn't.
They cut away from his feet.
I didn't even think about it.
The prince did not have weird toes, and I was happy. Actually, I saw it with my I saw it with my girlfriend and a bunch of other people, but like she knows how I feel about his weird toes,
yeah.
And like cut away, and she kind of just like she's like,
like no toes,
yeah. We talked about it afterwards.
That's really funny.
Driving out of the theater, like, so he didn't have weird feet. This is a talking point. Good stuff. Any Excellent. Final thoughts for you?
No. I talk too much.
Are you going to see more Disney live? Are you going to be a little less down on the Disney live action one now that you've seen this one and were like, you know,
truthfully,
it was good?
Probably not. Because I'm still just like, I still don't think it's a necessary thing to do. I feel like it feels very cash grabby to me. I only went out of my way to see this one because it's my favorite Disney movie and I wanted to see how they did it. I'm not opposed to them. I'm not going to avoid them. I'm just not going to go out of my way like I did with this one.
So,
and generally, I'm still going to like roll my eyes when they announce the next one.
So you're telling me that Jon Favreau directing The Lion King, getting James Earl Jones back as Mufasa, does not interest you?
No, it doesn't
Donald
excite
Glover
me.
As Lion.
Doesn't really excite
Donald
me.
Donald Glover as Simba.
Doesn't excite me like this one.
Even though,
like,
quote, it's not live action because it's actually just
CG. It's going to be CG. Well,
right.
I mean, yeah.
It's not really live action.
Yeah, but yeah, it's... I'm not as jazzed
about it.
It's
just a documentary.
It's Planet Earth 3.
It's stock footage.
It's one of those Disney nature movies.
With Lion King dialogue. I'd watch that.
It's like Crash Creatures, but with the Lion King title.
Yes, that would be great. I'd watch that.
Oh man! All right, we are past our prime here.
We are.
You
indeed.
Can find us on the internet at beardwithgeeks.com. Follow us also over at SupergirlTVTalk.com, where we talk about the CW show Supergirl, and of course, the marketers next door. MarketersNextDoor.com, where my wife Marissa and I talk about our careers in social media. You can send us an email at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. Follow us at beerwithgeeks on Twitter, beerwithgeeks on Facebook, and leave us iTunes reviews where you can find us under beerwithgeeks. And do we have any iTunes reviews that we'd like to read today?
I have one from The Rhymesmith, 5 stars, a perfect geek podcast. It says, Frank is a great geeky baritone.
Mm. Thank you, Ryan Smith.
To which you are.
Thank you very much. All right. Well, this has been fun.
It has been fun.
Thank you for...
the music.
For giving it to me.
Cheers. To say the least.
Say the least. Say the least.